Hello and welcome to our weekly podcast of Who's Here in the Hamptons. I'm Dan Rettina, your host, broadcasting from my home in the Hamptons, where I have lived for over 55 years. I've written a dozen books about this glorious place, and I've seen it grow through the years from small tourist towns, quaint fishing villages, and a summer playground for high society to what it is today, a world-class resort for celebrities, artists, musicians, authors, and billionaires. In my podcast, I will bring you interviews with not only these people, but also prominent local people who have helped shape the Hamptons. Welcome to Dan's Talks. My guest today is Kieran Scott, the author of 8 New York Times bestsellers, has a new book coming out called The Getaway. He writes in what's called a suspense and mystery thrillers genre, which I guess has a lot of surprises in it. Tell me about the new book, because I believe you told us that it's set out here in the Hamptons.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me, first of all. It's exciting to be here. So The Getaway is about a close-knit group of friends, mostly couples, who every year they spend 1 week together out at the Hamptons home of their friend Lincoln Foster and his wife Lily. And those two are kind of like the glue of their group. They're kind of the center of their group. But about a year and a half before this book opens, Lincoln and Lily have gotten a divorce. Lincoln has remarried. He has a new baby. So, of course, that throws off the whole dynamic of the group, who's so used to being just the four couples together. And so this year, they're all going out. They all have different feelings about it. You know, Lily's not going to be there. It might be a little weird. But what they don't know is that when they get there, they're each going to get a little note on their pillow that has a secret about Lincoln, their host, that Lincoln is very soon going to end up dead. That's not a spoiler. It happens really early in the book. And that there's a hurricane that is going to suddenly shift course and bear down on the Hamptons. So they're all going to be stuck there together, knowing that someone has murdered their friend.
Where is it set exactly? Are you quite familiar with this community?
So I've been to Sag Harbor a number of times. So that's sort of what the place that I had in mind when I was setting the book. The house itself could kind of be anywhere because really they're stuck there the whole time. They don't go out to parties. They don't go out to restaurants. They get stuck by the storm. But I was really intrigued by, I have a friend who has a house in Sag Harbor, and the house itself and the pool in the back are surrounded by these really mature trees. And originally when I was thinking about setting the book, the house was on the ocean, which is of course the thing everybody wants, right? That oceanfront property. But then I thought, with the storm and everything, it would be actually somehow more ominous to have those trees surrounding the house, and potentially a tree could come down, and just that sound that trees make in a storm, you know, like the creaking and cracking, and so scary. So I decided to set it there.
What has been your bestseller so far that you've written?
Yeah, so for a long time, I wrote for teens and kids, and my biggest bestseller was this series called Private that I wrote under a pen name, Kate Bryan. That was in the early 2000s. There were 14 books in that series, and 8 of them hit the New York Times bestsellers list, and it was dark academia. It was a story about a girl who goes to a private school in Connecticut. She comes from like a lower income community in Ohio, and she gets a scholarship, and she goes to Connecticut, and she gets wrapped up with these wealthy kids and all of their scandalous behavior. And the boy that she meets when she first gets there ends up murdered, and she's a suspect, but then all of her friends are suspects. And for some reason, this story really hit a mark with the teenagers at the time and sold really well. So that was really fun. It was a fun series to write.
How did you get involved in thinking you could write books?
That's a good question. So my dad was a writer. He was basically a journalist and a PR guy, but always wanted to write a novel himself. And he really got me into reading from a young age. And I was a huge reader in middle school and high school. I started to write my first novel in high school, but I never finished anything until after college. I have a really big imagination, and I love writing fiction. So I was lucky enough to have the opportunity when I was in my early 20s to write a novel that was part of an ongoing romance series for kids, where they hired a bunch of different authors to write into the series. So I auditioned for it and I got a contract, and that was my first book, was sort of this really low-paying part of an ongoing series, but it took off from there.
This Simon and Schuster?
That one was Bantam, which doesn't really exist anymore.
Where do you get your ideas from?
Oh, everywhere. Well, this particular idea actually came about because I'm at a point in my life where people are starting to get divorced or get separated. It's unfortunate, but you know, you see it happening. And there's this group of people in my hometown who are really close-knit group of friends, and there have been a couple of divorces in that group, and it's just kind of affected their dynamic so profoundly. And I feel like people talk a lot about how divorce affects the kids. Obviously, that's what you should be talking about, but I don't feel like people talk much about how it affects the friend group. I just thought that would be really interesting to explore. And I've kind of made a murder niche for myself, so I decided to throw in a murder or two. But really, the characters go through all this range of emotions about being at this house without their friend Lily, and whether or not that's a betrayal of Lily now that her ex-husband is remarried, and just sort of exploring all of that, like, what is their friendship going to look like now? So I found that really interesting.
Where did you grow up, and tell me where your father worked?
Oh, okay. So I grew up in North Jersey, where I still live now. I live about 5 miles from where I grew up, which is, you know, I've never lived outside of New Jersey. It's kind of my thing. And went to Rutgers University, where I was a double major in journalism and English. My dad did a lot of freelancing for travel magazines like Condé Nast Traveler and a bunch of other places that don't really exist anymore. There was a magazine called Diversion that he worked for. He wrote a lot for the Bergen Record, which is still our biggest newspaper up here in Bergen County. And he worked in PR for American Airlines and Eastern Airlines, as it were, and some of the cruise ship lines and things like that. So we got to do a lot of traveling on standby when I was a kid. But yeah, that was his main thing, was travel writing.
Yeah, actually, from Essex County.
Oh, okay. Where in Essex?
Milburn.
Nice. I have a lot of friends from Milburn at Rutgers.
That's where I grew up.
Nice.
Some of your other books, one of them is called Regrets Only and Wish You Were Gone.
Mm.
And tell me about those particular ones. And what caused you to segue from, I guess, the teen books you were doing up into suspense and mystery thrillers?
Yeah, so the reason I transitioned was because I had been working in YA for so long, and I really only wrote contemporary stories, whether they were romances or friendship or mysteries. And YA had sort of taken, the trend had gone towards dystopia like The Hunger Games or fantasy like Twilight. And that wasn't really my thing. I kind of tried it, but it didn't really work out. I'm not that type of writer. And so there came a point where I sort of realized that I wasn't going to be making a living in YA anymore. And I was in my early 40s, and I sort of thought, like, you know, I've been an adult for long enough. I must have some adult stories to tell to people, to my peers. So I had this story kind of festering in the back of my mind for a long time. You know, I've already talked about my dad, but he and I had kind of a contentious relationship growing up. He was an alcoholic, and our home life wasn't super stable. And I wanted to kind of touch on that a little bit in fiction. And so I started writing the story and realized that, you know, I was going to have to write it on spec because nobody in the adult fiction community knew me. So I went back to editorial as a day job and was writing this on the side. This was Wish You Were Gone. That book took me a few years to write because it was both very emotional for me, but also I was working a day job and had two young sons at the time. So Wish You Were Gone is about a family where at the very beginning of the book, the father is kind of drives his car through the back of the garage, and they assume it's an accident because he's an alcoholic, and they assume that he was drunk and just kind of accidentally killed himself. But then it turns out into a bigger mystery as they find clues and they figure out that not all is what it seems. So that was Wish You Were Gone. And then Regrets Only came out of a story that someone told me when I first moved to the town I live in currently, about the PTA trying to oust the female principal of the grade school. And I thought that was a really interesting story, that women kind of, we all talk about how much we support each other, but it sounded like these women were ganging up on this other woman for reasons that were unfounded. And so I wanted to write a story about that, but I didn't really want to murder the principal of a grade school. It felt wrong to me. So I decided that instead the murder victim would be the head of the PTA. And that's kind of where that story came from. So I try to explore things that happen to me or things that I hear about in my real life, but give them enough of a twist that people won't necessarily see themselves in the story.
Do the police get involved in these stories and investigations and stuff like that?
They do. I managed to set up most of my murders so that they could be accidents, so that the bumbling police decide to just label it an accident so that my characters can be the ones to investigate it instead.
Do you work at home?
Yes, this is my office.
This is where the stuff is coming from.
Exactly.
Tell me how you first came to the Hamptons.
Oh my gosh, the first time I went to the Hamptons, this is a funny story, was my first job. I worked for a man, I don't know if you know this gentleman by the name of Dan Weiss. So he ran this book packager. It was called Daniel Weiss Associates in the early 90s. And he and his wife have a house out in the Hamptons. And he, every summer, would have one day where he took the whole staff out to his Hamptons house for a party. So I was in my early 20s the first time I came out. And gosh, it was so long ago. I'm sure it's changed so much since then. It's been quite a while since I've been out, but it was just, we all felt very glamorous and cool that we got to go to the Hamptons for the day.
Where was the house in
That one, I think, was also Sag Harbor, I believe.
Sag Harbor has remained pretty much going its own route.
Good. I like to hear that.
It's because it's such a lovely and interesting spot.
Yeah.
Does the Hamptons, as you remember it, enter into your new book, The Getaway?
Again, it doesn't much. I mean, just the sort of geographical, geological kind of interesting things about Sag Harbor that I remembered do because, they live off this kind of thin lane and they have, like, again, all these mature trees around their house. They're not on the beach, which I think everyone sort of imagines when you go to the Hamptons, you're just spending all your time on these incredible decks overlooking the water. And so I found that really interesting that I know more than one house there that's really surrounded by trees. There's one character who leaves the house and gets stuck at a little kind of bed and breakfast, but then he comes back. But really, the whole story takes place at the house. So it's not super Hampton centric. It's more kind of like mansion centric.
When is pub date for this?
September 1st.
And you'll be going out on tour, do you know?
I don't think they're setting up a tour for me, but I do have a couple friends who I'm going to try to set up events with. And I'm talking to a vineyard out on Long Island about potentially doing an event there. And I'm hoping maybe to go to Hamptons Whodunit next year if I can possibly get in there.
Do you have another plot in your head for the next one?
I do. I'm actually already working on the next one.
And I'm going to tell anybody about it.
I will say one thing, which is that it's the first adult book I've written that's only got one POV. So all of my adult books have three, and they kind of rotate, at least three, and they rotate between those three points of view. But this is the first one where you follow one character and it sort of has an unreliable narrator. She's reliable mostly, but there's one thing she's unreliable about.
You have a favorite writer that you were impressed enough with to feel that it would help you.
Yeah, I was a big Leanne Moriarty fan before it was cool to be a Leanne Moriarty fan. I had a book club like 7 years ago and we read this book that she wrote called, I believe it was called What About Alice, or what, no, it was What Alice Forgot. And it was about a woman who has amnesia and she wakes up and she's divorced from the husband she thinks she's in love with, and her kids have all gone from 5 to 15, and it's very disorienting, obviously, and there's a whole mystery involved. And that book really changed everything for me because it was the first thing I really read that was like a domestic mystery set among couples and families with young kids and things. And so all of her books have really inspired me for sure.
Well, thank you for being on the podcast, and we'll look forward to the book.
Thank you for having me.